Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you, Lord God. We thank you again for the opportunity to be in the house of God, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Christ, Lord God, that the hope becomes a reality, Lord God, and no longer a hope as we walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and fellowship in you in the wonderful Word and Spirit of truth, Lord God. We thank you, Father, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So an honor to have Sister Nancy come up with us and fellowship with us. And we continue to hold her up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold her up in prayer and strength. You know, we have faith and hope and believing and knowing. But then yet, there's always going to be something that would appear to be missing. Amen. When you've been married, I believe, about 57 years. Is that correct, Sister Nancy? I can't imagine the feelings and the things of sorrow that would be in a sister's heart being married that many years and her friend and companion and husband gone on. But then we can think about the comforting power of the Holy Ghost, amen, and he can help and lead. I'd sure hate the thoughts of being in that kind of a place or position without the Holy Ghost, amen. Hallelujah. Let's open up our Bibles over to Luke this evening. We'll go over to about the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll begin to go there with the first verse, amen. I like the Word of God. The Word of God is rich, it's alive, and it's real. I really know that many people read the Word, but they don't perceive, receive, or hear, or know really what the Word of God says. I find it speaking with people, and even times people can quote the Word of God, speak the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, and they still don't perceive or understand or comprehend what the Word of God is truly saying. The Word of God is rich. It's alive. It's real. It's dimensional. It's got depths. It's got strength. It's got power. It's got life. It's got all the answers. It's got everything that you and I need. So let's go again to Luke 18. We're going to go to the first verse there. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." A lot could be said just there on that first verse, huh? I think a Brother Pike could come out, we'd be working, laboring, having some complications and maybe on something, and he would kind of observe for just a moment, and he said, "Well, brethren, has anybody prayed?" You know, there's some answers in prayer. You know, and many times, if we would take time to pray in many complicated situations or trying situations or whatever they are, many times we may not, in the prayer, we might not find the solution that we're looking for right promptly, but we will find something that's called peace. We'll find something that gives us a peace and an assurance when we pray. We may be waiting on the solution. We may be waiting on the remedy. We may be waiting on the answer, we may say. But when you pray and you begin to pray and speak to the Lord, you're going to find the peace and the strength of endurance. You're going to find the strength and the peace of the Holy Ghost to endure whatever the situation is. You know, we think in Daniel, sought the Lord and said that there was an angel of the Lord was dispatched when he began to pray. But it was, I believe, 21 days. Amen. And when we pray, we find peace and know that the angel of the Lord is heard. Amen. And the situation is being dealt with. I could say this in speaking about prayer, that in many cases and many times we have maybe in our thoughts or our desires, and we think, well, this is what I want to see happen. This is where I want it to go. But many times we pray amiss according to the scriptures and the Word of God. Sometimes the Lord is allowing some of these complications and difficulties and some of the things to take place because there's something being molded, something being strengthened, something being purged, something that is taking place in God. And God is working these things for our good. I think of over the years of time praying, you think, well, Lord, how come you haven't answered my prayer? He heard right when we prayed, amen. We're his children, we're his sons, amen. And he heard, amen. There's no doubt about it. But then we find out through the process of the things that have taken place and that are going on, that God is working and strengthening and molding you to be the vessel of honor that He truly desires you to be, that others could see good when good has come. Amen. You know, He wants us to be strong. I remember Brother Pike would be building buildings, and even when the county would come out to inspect, they say, "My, this building right here has got a foundation strong enough." On the Father's house, I think they went about 4 stories, maybe 5 on that building. And the inspector came out and said, "Man, this foundation right here would carry a 13-story building." He said, "Well, I'm building my buildings like I build men." And you know, when the Lord is building you for a person to have strength and to be unmovable and not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, you're going to learn to endure hardships. And sometimes the hardships come and we start to pray, you know, as we read here about prayer. And we start to pray, "Oh Lord, remove this. Oh Lord, take this away. Oh, I must not be in Your will, oh God. Oh, I must be doing this or that because of this controversy or this complication or this adversity or because of this trial or whatever it may be." Might even seem like judgment, persecution, chastening, tribulation. And you think, "Oh, I must be missing God." But no, what He's doing is molding. He's building, He's fabricating, He's strengthening, He's anointing. Amen? And He's the one that's having His way in it. He is the one that has absolutely orchestrated the circumstance, the situation. And you might think, "Where are You at, God?" He was there all the time. Amen? And He said, "Well, I won't put more on you than you can bear." But as it seems that you were getting weak and your knees were getting feeble and your arms were getting weak, He was there watching, making sure that there wasn't more than you could bear. But you found that when you endured and prayed for faith and prayed for strength and prayed for an anointing, and you prayed for the counsel of the Lord and those things, you found that He was there the whole time. Amen. But at the end of the matter, when you look back, it made you stronger. It made your testimony strong. And then when the winds come by again, or the storms of life, or these things come, you say, "You know what? I've endured this before. I know how to deal with this. I know how to..." And you stand. And when you've done all you can do to stand, the Bible said you continue to stand. And when you've done all you can do to continue to stand, and it tells you to continue on to stand. Amen. He wants men of God. He wants the children of God to have strength and to have endurance. And they want to be able to stand and be unmovable. Amen. I've shared this vision, and I'm sure it'll come back to many of your minds. But I remember Brother Pike said he had a vision, and all these wild stallions, he said, you know, these wild horses were just coming from all different directions, trying to get to penetrate around the brethren and to get in. And he said he looked around him and he saw these big horses. He said, big, strong. He said he looked at their legs and the muscles were sticking out. He said he could see the blood veins run around, and they got shoulder to shoulder and completely encompassed him and went around him. And he said you could see these wild stallions running, and they would just hit those horses. And he said they wouldn't even flinch. They wouldn't even move. And he said these wild horses were just bouncing off of them and falling away. And he said the Lord showed him that was my brethren, and they were standing around. This is what we need, brethren. We need to unify in such a way that we could have and know that we're a strength, that we can't be moved. We can't be touched by these wild things that are all around about us and happening all around us. Amen. We got to be able to stand and stand strong. Brethren, we need to have strength. We need to be like the word right here. I'm going to read verse 1 again. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint." It would be easy to faint in the day and hour that we're in when we see the gross darkness and all the things around about us. If we start looking at the circumstances and looking at the things that could overwhelm us, and we could find ourselves in that kind of a condition. When you faint, it's showing a condition of weakness. But if we would pray always, amen, we find that spirit in us of strength and power. Let's go on. Verse 2, it says, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said wherein himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" You know, brothers and sisters, when we find the Lord speaking and we find these parables going forth, we got to know there's a reason. You know, the Lord didn't just speak to get people's attention. He didn't just speak things to say, "Well, this is what I'm supposed to do. They're looking for me. I got to have something to say." His words were spirit in their life. They're eternal. They're everlasting. They're there for every generation, for every day and every time and for every hour. You know, and we find here a judge that had no fear of God. He wasn't even one that was really concerned for the people. But then yet, because of this woman's persistence, he was going to go ahead and offer some protection for her against her adversary. And then the Lord goes on to speak and he says, see what this unjust judge? And he goes to speak something. How much more so? How much more so about your heavenly Father? How much more so about a God that is concerned for humanity and has a compassion for mankind? How much more so what he's saying about him being our heavenly Father when we're in prayer and we're praying about circumstances and situations and things and violations and people that are coming in? How much more so? He says he'd come speedily. Amen. What is speedily to you? You know, sometimes we might endure some hardships for a season, for a time, but he's always right on time. Amen. There is a reason. You know, see, in our mind, we would like to think that when we're in the bout against the adversary, or we're in this bout, we're trying to think, well, man, we want you to come in and step in promptly, speedily. We want you to do this. But there's things that are taking place in the midst of that. Do you realize that while Jesus Christ was on the cross, do you realize the things that were taking place? We got one report of a centurion saying, this man must be who he says he was. He must be true. This is really him. So through the adversity and through this on the cross and through this shame that he was going through, we find for sure one soul right there that said, this must be one. But you know, brethren, that is just one that's recorded there. How many sat and looked at this to be so terrible and looked like to be that God had really forsaken him when he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we can see that in the midst of this, we find souls being won into the kingdom of God. Now we know that this was for our salvation when we look to the cross and to think of those things, but we look at what immediately took place right then and what people were observing. So how much more so today when you're enduring hardship, when you're enduring these kind of things? You know, I think of winning souls. As Brother Jonathan testified about his father's service, I think about those people that aren't living right. There was so many of his family members that aren't Christians that came. Some of his family or grandchildren, brothers or whatever, that aren't really have a testimony. But then they hear people standing up and praising God and rejoicing in the Lord and say, what is wrong with these people? But think about what's burning in their hearts tonight and today when they're thinking about death and they're thinking about the end of all flesh and they're considering those things and finding people rejoicing and praising God. Don't you know that's going to do something? There's going to be something that they won't shake. There's going to be something that they can't let loose of. And they're going to be thinking, wow, those people must have something different because they're praising God when we're supposed to be bawling or mourning and crying. And they're rejoicing and praising God. I need that kind of hope in me. You know, that's something that will change and win souls. Brethren, this is something we need to walk in on a daily basis. This is a strength, a hope, a faith, a salvation. Salvation. It needs to be real with us, amen. When these adversities come and the adversary comes and these kind of things, we need to go to the scriptures and the word. We find a parable being spoken. Hey, if this unworthy judge, if he's going to go and show mercy and if he's going to go and show compassion and if he's going to go and offer protection to this widow woman, how much more so is your God going to do for you? How much more so is your God going to move in your behalf because he's a just God? He's a good God, a God that's concerned for humanity and concern for people. How much more so when you pray? How much more so when you cry out? How much more so is he going to move in your affairs? Amen. You need to have that faith. You need to trust and believe. Many times because of unbelief, because we don't trust, because we're not expecting. But he's given us an example here. If this is what the unjust is going to do, how much more so is a just God, a righteous God, a good God, a merciful God going to do for you and I when we cry? We need to pray with assurance that we know he hears. We need to pray knowing that he's heard our prayers and he's got his ears tentative and tuned in and he's listening. And we got to know when we pray that he is already moving in our affairs and our account for our good. Amen. And now the thing is where you need to learn is that sometimes it might not be as fast as you probably, but there's something taking place. Just as when Jesus was on the cross and the man bowed down at the foot of the cross and said, this is surely. And sometimes the Lord will allow you to show endurance.
endurances and to show sufferings and show
the love that you have during the tribulations or the persecutions or the troubles and the trials, that you're not given to change, that you're not bowing down to those things and showing defeat in those things, that you hold up your head and you walk by faith and you're not moved by the circumstances of this world. Amen. And you're going to say, praise God. And when people see that, they're going to say, there's something different. Why isn't he mourning over this? Why isn't he sorrowful about this? Why isn't his head hanging down and his arms hanging feebly on his side? But he's got his hands raised up to the Lord and he's testifying the goodness of God, testifying the love of God, testifying the power of his salvation, testifying the joy of the Lord in the persecution and tribulation. Saints, this is not stories that we need to be reading about. These are things that we need to be living. These are the manifestation of the sons of God that we are. We don't need to be talking about a future hope. We need to be walking in the hope and the presence of the living God that people can see when the adversary comes, see when the enemy comes, see when the storms of life come, that we can say, peace be still, and they can see the joy unspeakable and full of glory in our confessions, in our words, in our testimonies, in our life, amen, that it become real and reality. We need to exercise these things, amen, on a continuous basis. Let's go on here. I want to read just a little bit more. Let's go to verse 9 right now. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. I want to think about this again. Verse 9 again. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Let me ask you a question, if we were just going to expound on that one verse. When you see people despising and continually despising, but then yet they feel like they're so righteous, what is that telling you about that person? Now think about it. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. How many of you are trusting in yourself? Now let me tell you something. We all do this. Now we can sit here and be real religious and real righteous and say, oh, you know, I only trust in God. Yeah. And you do so many exploits and so many things you never even think about calling on God. You see, God didn't give you abilities and skills and different things. You know, there's times that we're going to exercise these things, but we do it with trust and faith in God. And when you start trusting in yourself, sometimes God will come in and blow on certain things, and you're going to find out that you're going to fall shy. He has a way of doing that. I've been there. Amen. God help me. I've been there so many times. And all of a sudden, you'd be doing something that you've done over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, you get, because your mind ain't right with God and you're not walking where you should be with God, you got this kind of layout of the seeing type spirit, and you're kind of like, hey man, I got this thing together. I really don't have need God. You need to come to a place in your walk with God that you're never in a place that you don't need God. When you think you got this under control, I got the finances for this, I got the strength for this, I got the health for this, I don't need God. Let me tell you, that's a dangerous place to be, because he could take your finances away. He says he could bring a nation down in a day. Amen. So I'll tell you what, he could bring you down a lot quicker. Don't take long for most of us to exhaust our finances. We kind of stay in that realm. Amen. You know, I think of so many times that we try to get everything worked out in an intellectual way and we get in God's way. Remember when we was in Mexico? I can't remember. I think it might have been Brother Ed, but one come and said, hey, Brother Rob, they're over there counting the things up. And he said, I know that the Lord told you not to count the money, to just go on and do what he asked you to do. Don't count it. And I said, man, stop them, please. And you know, sometimes we can start counting. You know, Israel got in trouble for numbering their strength. So then the Lord takes a man like Gideon and he gets him out there and he says, well, take your army. Well, man, we're already underpowered. We already don't have enough. Get them down there. And then these ones that kneel down like this way, remove them. What do you mean remove them? We're already overnumbered. We're already in trouble now. You only to remove them, but he followed the voice of God. Amen. God's ways aren't our ways. And we start looking for strength. We start looking for numbers and we're going to get in his way. I would rather depend on God. Amen. As a vast army, you know, I would rather depend on the Spirit of God as a big bank account. I would rather depend on the Spirit of God as in my own strength or my own health. Let me tell you something, things could come in your life and it could be a physical infirmity. It could be a weakness in your strength. It could be something that come for you could say, you know what, Lord, I know, amen, that I got no strength. I know, Lord, that I'm nothing and no good. I know, Lord, that I can't do anything less than you. And that's a wonderful place to be. Amen. You might say, well, if you was there, you might not think so. Let me tell you something. I've got the taste of it. Amen. I've got to be there before. And I found strength in the Spirit of God. I found strength in the Holy Ghost. I found strength in prayer. Amen. And I found that place. Amen. And it's there for you. He's no respecter of person. Amen. You know, when you get behind this sacred desk before you come up here, your old back might be throbbing just a little bit. You might be having some kind of pain. You might feel a little bit weary. You might feel a little bit weak. Might feel a little bit tired. But you get behind that sacred desk and you start speaking and loud, Lord, and all of a sudden, all those things and all those cares and all those things are gone. Because you've taken an action to do something and to move in the Spirit of God. And you say, well, why don't that happen all the time? It does, amen. And maybe we just need to stay in that place with God. Amen. Is there something special about this desk? Is there something special about this little pad I'm standing on behind it? No, there's something special about doing something for God. Wherever you're at, if it's on your job, if it's at your house or wherever it may be, it might be on your telephone. You start speaking the word, amen. Start talking about the goodness of God and the power of His salvation and about His strength and His love and His anointing. And then all of a sudden you'll start finding out, you know what? Man, I forgot about this. I remember one time I was so stoved up, I got down in my tub and I don't, you know, take baths, but about maybe once or twice a year, you know. I guess we might need to define that, amen. But I don't take too many baths. I take showers, but man, I was stoved up and I got in there, man, I started praying. Amen. This was why I was pastoring here. And I started praying. I said, Lord God, you know what? I said, I'm preaching your word. I got to preach faith to these people. And I said, I need a touch right now from heaven. I need you to do something, Lord God. And I was praying. And all of a sudden I thought, whoa, boy, this hot water, man, is doing a pretty good job, man. All of a sudden I couldn't find it. And I went to moving around. And you know what? I guarantee it. I've tried that hot water before, even with the Epsom salt in, but it didn't do like that. Amen. All of a sudden that thing left. And I go, whoa, hey, praise God, hallelujah, amen. You know, do we pray? We were just talking about in this parable about praying often. You know, sometimes we forget to pray. You know, we just go around and we find time to murmur. We find time to complain. We find time to talk about the pain, the hurts, and the aches, and all that stuff. But sometimes we need to find time to say, God, you're a good God. God, you're a powerful God. God, you are a healer. God, you are a deliverer. God, you are strength, amen. Hallelujah. And you start speaking like that, and you start talking like that. And all of a sudden you say, hey, what happened to that? Where'd that headache go? Where'd that pain go? Where did that old joint hip problem go? And all those things, all of a sudden you start saying, wow. Wow, praise God, amen. And you start just thinking, God, you're a good God, amen. Hallelujah. I feel a lot better now, man. Praise God. I'm glad I come to church tonight. I got to preach a little bit, man. Things are starting to move a little bit better and a little bit easier, amen. Y'all want to go for a walk around the block here tonight, amen? We'll just get out here and go for it. And you say, oh, does it work that way? I say, yeah, and amen, it works that way. Hallelujah. Let's go back to verse 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, brethren, there is always line upon line and a balance in the scriptures and the word. This parable is very powerful. You know, and I know that there's a man that could just be speaking so poor mouthing, and feel like he's going home justified. There's a point of faith that we got to speak by the righteousness of Christ and by the power of his blood and the power of the Holy Ghost. And we speak with assurance and we speak with strength. Amen. But then yet we started out in this parable speaking about self-righteousness and one that thinking highly of themselves. If we back up there again, it says that they trusted in themselves, amen. And the one that trusted himself, the Pharisee, he was trusting himself, says, hey, I give my tithes. I've dealt with this spirit over the years, oftentimes in many personalities. You know, and they get to a point, you know, like I've done and I did. You know, if anybody deserves the blessings of God, here I am. I deserve the blessings of God. And this other one that wouldn't even look up towards heaven found that he was the one that was justified before God. Yes, there is revelation here. There's understanding here. Amen. Now, what we've got to do is we never want to testify of our goodness, our righteousness, our giving, and our strength and what we are, we testify of Him and His goodness. Amen. And we need to have a testimony. This one that went away justified that wouldn't look towards heaven. Let me tell you something. Jesus prayed with His eyes lifted up towards heaven. And we've got to go line upon line. There's times that we need to look up towards heaven. And we need to put our hands in the air. And we need to rejoice and praise the living God. And say, God, I thank You and I praise You and I worship You. You are my God. You're my King. You are my Lord. You are my salvation. You are my strength. You are my anointing. You are my power. You're my hope. You're my everything. Amen. And you'll find the strength that you need. But we don't want to go within ourselves and our goodness and our deeds and our things, because we'll find ourselves not being justified like we just read within this parable. So when I speak like this, I'm not taking away the strength and the anointing and the power of the Word, but we've got to understand the Bible. We got to take it line upon line. We got to be able to differentiate it into the dimension. There's got to be a part of you with the strength, amen, that could go boldly to the throne of grace, that you know that you could enter in by the blood of the Lamb with a testimony of strength and anointing of power. But that's not in yourself. That's not in your righteousness. That's not because you're a good person or because you gave $1 billion to the work of God. You're going that way because you've been washed in the blood and been set apart and made perfect by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And that's how you enter in boldly. It's not because you've done some exploit or something. You got the boldness of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and Christ living in you, and that's where you enter in. But when you try to enter into the throne of the living God, and you try to enter in there with your righteousness, and because you've done this thing and think you've earned the way in, you will not find that scepter being put out to you, and you'll find yourself put to death. And like the Bible said, they'll take you and cast you out because you don't have that wedding garment on. Amen. So we need to find line upon line and precept upon precept. We need to remember that God hears. God hears our prayers. Amen. God's ears are open to your prayer. God is listening. He's never left you, never forsaken you. I think about that little poem about, you know, it said that they saw the two footprints going along the beach. And when things got real tough, they saw just one set. You got to remember, that's so factual to the things of God. When you can't go no more, when you can't endure no more, when you don't feel like you got the strength to go on anymore, you just need to remember that your God's got you held up in His arms. Amen. And He's holding on to you, and He's carrying you and walking with you and strengthening you and anointing you. Amen. You got to have this hope. You got to have this faith. You got to have this in your spirit. Amen. Because this is God. This is who He is. You know, we're trusting Him for our eternal well-being. We're trusting Him for our salvation. And why would we ever doubt Him for one moment? Why would we ever even exercise one iota of unbelief or despair of any kind whatsoever at all? His strength, His grace is sufficient. His anointing is real. His power is there for you and I. Amen. And we're going to go on. And you know what? When you've got a reason, I think when I was laying in a hospital bed down there in Winston-Salem, and them doctors come in that room and they got their little notepads and they come in there and they're talking about this guy's problem. Man, if anybody they thought had a right to complain or mourn or murmur, they thought this was probably this guy. Got several busted up bones and this and that. And man, I said, praise the Lord, isn't God good? Amen. And they would look at me like, man, what has got this guy? We better back off on this dope that we're putting in him, because he surely got to be doped up. Well, let me tell you something, doctor. I've been off your dope now for several years. Amen. But I still got that same kind of mind. Amen. I like this high. Hallelujah. I like being high on Jesus. Amen. I'm saddened to say this, and I mean this with all my heart. I don't have one proud bone in my body. Man, that's a slop hole mess. But I can tell you this, that I know what the devil's got to offer. Amen. I've been out of my mind on his dope and his drugs. I've been so drunk on his alcohol that I was like that dog lapping up the vomit. Amen. I know what the filth and the perversion of Satan's life is and of the devil. But let me tell you something. Amen. God is good. Amen. I know what kind of high he's got. You need to come drink of this. You need to come take a little bit of this. Amen. And when you get all this, you'll find out that there is a place, hallelujah, a heavenly place. There is a place that you can live and abide. Amen. And it's real. I'm not talking about some hope. I'm not talking about some dream. I'm not talking about, well, you know, maybe we'll get there. I'm talking about entering into that place, and you'll find that you've got peace. Amen. You've got peace, and you're stable, and you're grounded, and you got a taproot, and you're unmovable. Amen. You're not tossed around. You're not floating around or pushed around or beaten around or knocked around. Brother Pike used to say, he said, man, I got these guys come in and say, man, the devil's been beating my brains out. And he said, man, once you get born again, amen, the devil ain't going to beat no son of God's brains out. Amen. When you're a son of God, you're going to stand up and say, get you behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You ain't going to mess with me. We're going to have to start taking our place. But when you show weakness and you start submitting to that thing, he's going to whoop up on you. Stand up, take your rightful place, and let Satan know who you are. Amen. And all of a sudden, you'll be reaching out from beyond that weakness. You'll be reaching out beyond that pain. You'll be reaching out beyond those things, and you'll find a supernatural strength. You'll find that spirit of the anointing of God moving down through you and moving in you and stirring up within. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, hey, praise God. Amen. And he's going to say, you know what? I should have been there all the time. Amen. Amen. I should have been there all the time. And you say, oh, Brother Rob, come on. No, Brother Rob, me. I'm telling you this, amen. We need to get real with God. We need to hold on, and we need to stand strong, and we need to be unmovable. And again, when we've done all we've done to stand, we're going to continue to stand because his grace is sufficient. And somebody's watching, and somebody, just like when them doctors come in the room thinking, ah, this guy's got a reason, and they see you rejoicing, they see you praising, they see you testifying the goodness of God. And all of a sudden, they're going to say, whoa, there is something different about this guy, amen. God allows that suffering. He allows those afflictions. He allows those things for he could show his goodness. How else is he going to show it? How else is he going to show endurance and strength and healing and all those things unless there's some kind of a sickness? Amen. How is he going to show himself if there's some doctor that can't testify to the fact this man should be dead? This man should be down. This man should be moping and groaning. But you know, somebody needs to testify God. Amen. And rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice for the day of adversity. Rejoice in the day of persecution. Rejoice when they speak all matter of evil against you. Somebody called this preacher up when I was with him the other day and said, well, I need prayer, man. These people are talking about me. Yeah, you need prayer. You need to get born again. When they're talking about you, you need to say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. They talked about my Lord, my God, my Savior. They called him a devil. They called him a wine bibber. They called him all kinds of things. And they're talking about me. Praise God. Because I got him living in me. They needed to be rejoicing. They needed to be testifying. They needed to be praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Where are we living at? Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Amen. You know, somebody say, well, if you just understood where I'm at. I understand where you're at. I'm understanding my God's the same to every generation. Amen. And we could take and we could through faith and we could by prayer. Amen. We could stand up and say, praise the living God. Amen. And we could testify the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember hearing said when Brother Jerry's thing said, well, you know, this is what endurance is to the end. I said, does anybody have a testimony of this man being in the world? Did anybody have a testimony of this elderly brother going off out in the world and drinking and doping and partying or running around? No. I said, just because it's an endurance to the end, praise God for those kind of testimonies. Amen. To somebody to stand up all the way. But now this is our time. Have you seen the end yet? We need to endure. We need to press. We need to keep on going. Amen. We don't want to let the enemy come in and defeat us in our mind or in our thoughts. Amen. I know that we've got physical bodies and sometimes they don't exactly cooperate, but we don't yield to that. We say, shut up, Satan. I'm a son of God. I got supernatural strength. I got supernatural power. Hallelujah. I got endurance all the way to the end. Get you behind me and shut your mouth. Amen. Have you tried it? Hallelujah. It's good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? You take a little old fella, man, about half ignorant and ain't got no sense. Policeman down here in town one day told me, talking about, he called it liquid courage, just what they call alcohol. He said, yeah, you get these little old guys on this stuff and we call it liquid courage because, boy, they think they could fight 10 of us police officers. And if they were sober, they wouldn't even try to fight just one. But you know what? I got some liquid Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, drink of this. Hallelujah. Eat of this. Amen. And when you eat of that, you got some strength. Amen. To stand up against the enemy. You got some strength. Amen. You're not standing on your own. You're not standing in your own power. You're not standing in your own faith. You're not standing in it. You're standing in the faith of the Lord Jesus. He prayed that kind of faith on you before you ever came into an existence. Amen. Amen. And he prayed for you and he spoke to the Heavenly Father for you. Amen. And you've got everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. We got God. We got his spirit. We got his power. We got his anointing. We got his love. We got his virtue. We got his healing. We got everything that pertaineth unto life. I'm not talking to unbelievers now. You should be saying, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got it. Amen. It's mine. It's been mine all the time. Amen. Whatever you set your faith for, whatever you believe for, amen, let it so be. The widow woman needing some protection from an adversary. And because she kept petitioning, God answered. And this was a wicked judge. But what about a just God? What about a righteous God? What about a good God? What's he going to do for you? Amen. Do you have hope in him? You're trusting him for eternal life? You're trusting him to take and change your mortal body into immortality or transfigure you? You're trusting him for all that? Can you trust that he's hearing your prayers and he's moving in your affairs? Can you trust for a moment, even no matter how bad it looks, that you say, this is going for my good because I love him? Can you trust and believe that this is all happening and it's all after the counsel and the will of the living God? I've seen some terrible things over the years take place and happen, and God works it out. And it's how he saves souls, amen. This is how people come to God. This is how people come in. My brother Randy put a gun in his head and blowed his brains out. My pastor, Brother George, said, you know what? He was just a sacrifice, amen. He showed the middle wall. His name, they called him Red, and he said it had to do with the blood. And he said, you know what? That's just a sacrifice, man, amen. Can you rejoice in the Lord? What was Jesus? He was a sacrifice, amen. And we rejoice and we got a testimony and we overcome this world because of that blood of the Lamb. Amen. What do we are people need to be rejoicing? There's nothing by chance. There's nothing by chance. There's nothing to do. Well, it's just a coincidence. No, it's all been orchestrated by the living God. It's all through the foreknowledge of God. It's all been predestined and predetermined. And you need to look at everything in your path and everything that's going on, and not with some despair or not with some feebleness of hanging down thinking, oh gosh, why is this? You need to say, praise the living God. This is happening for a reason. This is happening for my good. And I rejoice and I praise you, Lord God. I know this is how you win souls. I had a man screaming at me. He said, you ain't nothing but a coward. Boy, there was an old flesh man down there. Said, I'm going to show you what a coward is in about 5 seconds here. And I was about ready to get on my feet. And then my pastor looked me right now and he says, Brother Rob, he said, this is how we win souls. And I said, oh my, is this the way we do it? Amen. But it was another mind. You see, he was in another mind. Amen. He was in another state of mind. He was not in the mind of man. He wasn't in the mind of the circumstance. He was in the mind of the living God, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be in that mind. And we say, hey, this all works for my good. Glory be to God. This is for the salvation. Amen. I was sent to the lost. Amen. I was sent to save souls. Amen. So we say, here I am. Use me. And you might find yourself on a cross. You might find yourself being yelled up. And you say, my, your grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Here I am. Praise God. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word is real, brethren. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and worship the Lord and praise the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. I'm glad this isn't just a hope. I'm glad it's a reality. Amen. Hope is when you're looking for some. Reality is when you got it. It's a substance. Amen. It's real. Amen. Let's get a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ and let's be people that walk in faith and walk in believing and let people know, hey, this is real. Amen. And we can have a smile on our face. Amen. When the enemy's in your face and spits, you can wipe the spittle out of your face and say, I love you. Amen. And you smile at them just a little bit. You know, that kills them. You could shoot them. You could blow their head off or whatever, and they might find that better. But when you smile at them and say, I love you, amen, you just about done that. I tell you, they don't know how to deal with that. Let's worship the Lord, saints. Let's love the Lord, amen. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. We'll close the service, but let's praise the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. I want to be strength. I want to be strength to people. I want people to see faith. I want my epistle, when it's read, that somebody could say, you know what? There's endurance. There's power. There's salvation. Amen. What are they getting out of your book? Amen. We're all being read. Amen. Let's be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unveiled. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you feel the strength of the Lord? Hallelujah. Just pray right now. Amen. And say, Lord, strengthen me. Oh, mighty God, anoint me. Empower me. Fill my cup, Lord God. I want the strength to go on. I want the power, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost. You promised to give us the Holy Ghost and endure us with power. Endure us with the power from on high. Amen. And I receive that power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to walk upright with strength and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Can you feel them hallelujahs ringing from your innermost man? You ought to feel that power, that anointing down in your spirit. Just want to praise and worship. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We got something to rejoice about. We got something to say hallelujah about. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise
amen.
You, Lord Jesus.
Amen. We're just going to have church up here. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You think maybe we ought to get them a little closer? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship the Lord just for a moment. We won't keep you much longer. Let's gather that strength together, unified together, amen. As we come a little closer to the Lord, amen. Let's have some strength and some virtue and some anointing that when we find our brother or our friend maybe a little weak, that we can stand in the gap, amen, and they can find that virtue of the Lord Jesus, find that power of His salvation and that strength, amen, of His goodness, hallelujah, and find that strength coming that they can walk in the power. Hallelujah.
Come a little closer.
Just a little closer. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And your day will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give Lord Jesus a hand. Amen. We got something to give Him a hand about. Amen. Hallelujah. I give my hand because I'm an appreciation.
Hallelujah.
I give Him a hand because He's my God and my King and my Lord and my salvation. And He's there. He's never left me nor forsake me. Amen. He's there all the time. Hallelujah. I got something to praise Him about. I got something to give Him a hand about. Amen. Because He's a good God, a just God, a righteous God, a holy God. Hallelujah. And He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. Come on, let's give Him a hand and praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's ask Him to fill us with His power and anoint us with His Holy Ghost and strengthen us, amen, that we can continue on to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
Are you thankful?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm thankful. Amen. Let's sing another song. Amen. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Let Him be your God, your King, and your Lord. Let Him be real. Amen. People need a real God. We're serving in this day and hour. People don't have a real God. And people need to find you serving a real God. And when your God has become real, and when people see you rejoicing and testifying and speaking about your God, they're going to want Him. Most people don't desire your God because they don't find that your God is real. But your God needs to be alive and well. And you start testifying and talking to your God, and you know that He's there and He's in you and you're in Him. Amen. Then He becomes real. Hallelujah. Glorify, testify, praise, rejoice. Amen. And let your God be real. I love you and appreciate you. You pray for me as I pray for you. Hallelujah. I want to feel your faith. I want to feel your prayers. I want to feel your strength. Amen. And we're going to take and start doing greater exploits. Amen. For the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have strength. Amen. And He's given us all that we need to glorify, to testify, to praise, and to worship. Let's give Him one more hand. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands and close our eyes and sing this with Brother Jonathan. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God.
Waiting patiently in life.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.